It's worth following.
Today's Gospel reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And you may find this on page 1192. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony is given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed as herald and apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith for the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Richard, may my words be the right words. May your name be glorified and honored. Amen. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Back in the beginning of September, I was going to the safeguarding training that we have to do every 3 years. And one of the things I was asked to reflect on and write some reflections on was Psalm 91. Which we had read this morning. And it's a very extraordinary psalm to me, and I'm going to unpack it a little bit in the way I was thinking about it through what I say now. So I need to have this in my hands, and I want to say that the Lord does work in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So Psalm 91, I thought about back at the beginning of September, and then I had to write up some reflections on that. And then when I got the plan for our series, Judith had chosen a lot of all the readings, lectionary readings, and she'd chosen Psalm 91 and 1 Timothy 2 for today. I changed all the other readings, so we're talking about in a series, People Jesus Met. But I left this one the same because it's Remembrance Day, and I didn't think it was appropriate to be talking in that same series. So I thought we'll stick with the remembrance theme. I have never preached on Psalm 91 before. It's never come up in remembrance before. I spoke to Judith about it. It's one of the set readings for today. But it's I just want to say the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I'm very glad about that, although I found it very challenging, and I hope you don't find it too challenging this morning. But it is challenging. So we have, we do have to remember that today is Remembrance Day. We have the poppy, and I need to turn this on, I think. Which is not working for me. Can you? There we go. And the French equivalent of the poppy, the bleuet, which I have on my gilet, which I left at home because I thought it's going to be warm in Cannes. I don't need my gilet. Actually, I forgot it. I perhaps could have done with the gilet a couple of times, but. Anyway, Psalm 91. And Judith has kind of summarized it very well. in the can opener, I don't know whether you read what she had to say, and God is the place of refuge we can run to in the midst of all and any circumstances. Surely he will save you. And it goes on, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right side, but it will not come near you. Oh, I've just turned this off. I'm not doing very well this morning, am I? Oh, there we go. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000. It won't come near you. And if you say, the Lord is my refuge, as Cynthia read, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, is what we have in Psalm in 91 and verses 9 and 10. No disaster will come near your tent. Well, I wonder whether that is universally our experience or your experience, because it seems to me that it's not. And we read this psalm, and somehow, to me, it doesn't ring true. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is God's truth to us. So what am I going to do with that when I read these words in the psalm and they don't seem to work? They don't seem to be my experience. They don't seem to be many people's experience. I mean, all we have to do is think of what's going on in the world today, Israel and Gaza, Palestine, in Ukraine, global climate change already causing death. And further back, of course, the Holocaust, the First and Second World Wars, and we can name any number of these. So, what am I going to do with this? How do I cope with a psalm that says this, 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 and this, but my experience is very different? People often will say to me, and I'm sure you've heard this said to you as well, I'm conscious of the prayers of God's people. That when we're in trouble, when we want, when we're ill or we have difficulties in our lives, we share it with people and they pray for us and with us. And often people will say, I really felt upheld by people's prayers. But the promises here in this psalm, it seems to me, are not kept in a literal way, in a literal sense, for me, for everyone. At times, perhaps yes. So I think this is about how it should be. It's how God wants his people to be. We all know people who fell in the war. We all know people who suffered. We all know people who are caught up now. My own father was a prisoner of war in the Second World War, spent 5 years. He was taken prisoner at Dunkirk. He spent 5 years as a prisoner of war. A terrible time for him. He suffered enormously, something he never spoke to us about. So what do we do with these words in Psalm 91? And we could spiritualize them and say, this is true in the long term. We trust God now, and in the long term, ultimately, when we die, when we meet the Lord, this will be our experience. He will be our refuge, yes, of course. But we don't need a refuge then, do we? Because we're in his family, we're there. Or we could spiritualize it and say it's all to do with fulfillment of the prophecy for Jesus. But actually, I think these can be some of the meanings, but I don't think it's the full meaning. You and I also, we know the comfort that we do receive from the Lord during difficult times. But I believe that this psalm is the word of God to us, like all scripture, and it is filled with God's truth and his love. But still, I want to say it doesn't feel true. For those Christians who fought in the world wars, for those who are serving today, for those in our armed forces, for those caught up in Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, wherever, what can we say? In what sense is this God's truth? Is this God's word to us today? It's poetry, we know that. So how does it work for us? How did it work for those who wrote it and first used it in worship? They too knew pain and distress, didn't they? Maybe of the exile to Babylon, the loss of loved ones in defending Israel against outside attack, or family turning against you, for example, in David's case. And I don't need to rehearse all these, the problems we see today. Or are we going to say perhaps, well, as the psalm says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Are we going to say, well, we don't love the Lord enough? We haven't made him our refuge enough? I don't think that's the way God works, is it? It's not transactional. And we can't go down that road, which I know some people get into, when people aren't healed from something and somebody who's been praying for them, somebody will say, well, you don't have enough faith. Shameful. Because that's not the way God works. We can't blame other people for not being healed because they didn't have enough faith or we... That to me is shameful. We can't blame other people. Or perhaps people will blame God or say, why is God punishing me? No, we can't do that either. I don't think any of us love God enough with our whole heart, all our strength, all our mind, everything about us. We none of us are there, are we? I'm not. And we can't turn it into a blame game. That's not what it's about, is it? So what do we make of it? Well, I think one way of dealing with this is to, just as I've got on the screen, this is how God wants it to be. This is his heart of love for the world, for his people. He wants people to know that they are safe. He wants them to be protected. He wants them not to have these issues. It's a reflection of God's desire that all should live in his shelter. All should know him as their fortress. All should know him as their refuge. As God's chosen people, the Israelites, light to the Gentiles. Remember, care for the fatherless, the widow, the needy. Those things are hardwired into the Israelite legal code. This is God says, you've got to look after people. You've got to take care of the needy. You've got to look after the orphan. You've got to look after the foreign. It's written in the law. This is how God expected Israel to behave. Their role to show and be God's love and care for the world and all who live in it. So maybe this care for the needy and those in danger is the way God truly cares through God's own people, as the psalm describes. So So maybe the promises in the psalm are honoured and kept when the people of God take the lead in honouring them. And folks, I'm sorry to say, we are now God's people. Actually, it's a delight, a pleasure, isn't it? I'm not sorry to say it, but it puts something of a challenge to us. That's why I'm sorry. It's up to us as his family to ensure that we shelter, protect, and provide refuge for those in need. And then the words of the psalm will become true. He will command his angels, it says in verse 11. He will command his angels to guard you in all your ways. So I wonder if we're called to be his angels, to protect and guard those around us. And perhaps we've all heard stories of somebody who's done something completely unasked, who's actually turned out to be an angel when people have helped us out completely unexpectedly. It's happened to me a few times. And we need to be aware that sometimes, because things haven't gone right for people, they feel they're to blame. And we mustn't let that take root. We must go against that. So I think the way this psalm is true is when Israel lives as she should live back in the Old Testament, when God's people, his family, you and me, behave this way, we should do it. I've talked before about Sarah Miles and a book called Take This Bread. I won't go into it anymore, but Sarah Miles actually became a Christian through being drawn into a community and taking communion with a community. She had been an atheist before then. She came in, she was offered communion, and her life totally was turned upside down. And she became the leader in San Francisco of the food bank movement, and she was instrumental in spreading the food bank movement right the way across the United States. As a Christian, she believed that she should be doing something. That's what she did, and that's what we do. I've got a little bit of a clip now, which is very different. This has got sound on it, I hope. This is someone who was serving, a few years ago, was serving in Afghanistan. And this is, he talks about what if things hadn't worked out as they did. And I think this is an illustration of how God does look after us, but not always, and he talks about that in a moment. So let's see if it will play.
Main responsibility and my main role, and I don't really think too much about what happens if. We go through a lot of training with what ifs if we end up crash landing somewhere and how to escape. But I think I do certainly trust God that he's got my life in his hands. I remember hearing someone saying that we're immortal until God calls us home. And I often think that my life is in God's hands, and you know, and so is my timing, and you know, and that doesn't mean I diminish any responsibility from keeping myself, my crew, and my passengers safe. I'll do my utmost, but I think I just have that sort of sense of peace that God's, you know, in my life and is there looking out for me. There was a time in Afghanistan last year. It was in April last year where I was shot in the foot. That was quite a big challenge. The story was we dropped off some troops first thing in the morning, and we were going back in to go and pick them up. So it was during the extract. Landed on to pick up these troops and came under contact from the Taliban. And one of the rounds came through the cockpit. It went underneath the other pilot's legs and ended up hitting me in the left foot. I pulled my foot back, realised I'd been shot, informed the rest of the crew, and we managed to get away, thankfully without sustaining any more casualties. On the the landing site. But then as we were flying away, I collapsed on the controls, had to get pulled out of the seat, and the rest of the crew did an amazing job of getting us back to Bastion safely. That day I got straight into theatre, had the round removed from my foot and got sent back to the UK. So I was back in Birmingham the following morning, where they did further surgery to sort of clean and stitch up the wound. But I've just seen God's hand, you know, amazingly throughout that whole sort of experience. I think at the time it could have been so much worse. The round could have...
It's a 5-minute clip, and I've only chose to show those couple of minutes. What if? So Richard there was conscious. I mean, what did he say at the beginning? You're immortal until you're called home. I thought that was a interesting. But so he felt that his own responsibility was to do the very best he could for his crew, and for what he was doing. What he wanted to do was protect those in his care. So I think, to me, an example of just looking after people. And this guy is clearly a Christian and wants to live like that and take care of those around him. So, as I come to the end, I just want to remind us of the other reading that we had read for us by Richard this morning from 1 Timothy 2. We are asked to pray, and we are asked to pray for all people and for kings and those in authority. One of the things I want to remind us, though, also, I don't know whether you've... Have you heard this quote from Martin Niemöller? They came first, I think probably I've missed something out here. First they came for the Jews, but I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't speak out. Then they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. They came for the socialists, and they didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. They came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And I think our role as God's people in the world is to pray, as Paul encourages people, to pray for people around us, keep our eyes open, and to act out Psalm 91. To do it, to be the refuge, to be the security, but to be the protection for those around us, in prayer and in action. So, we need to pray. We need to speak. And we need to do. We need to pray. We need to speak. Speak to those around us. When we hear people being racist or speaking against things that we know are right, then we, difficult as it is, we need to say something like, I'm really uncomfortable with that. And that's probably good enough. I'm really uncomfortable with that. And we need to get on and do stuff for people and look after people. And from what I gather, this church is great at doing that. I want to encourage people to keep at it. So I think I've finished with a picture of the blue air and the corn and the poppy together, as we remember and give thanks for those who did just that, who fought and acted to protect the world